Good morning, my fellow human beings. It is officially September the 30th, 2019. It's Monday morning just after midnight, which means it's as early as you can fucking get, really. And I have some good news. I went to church today. Pastor Tim was not there. But I'm still glad I went. I had an interaction with someone that listens to my podcast today. There's no reason to call this person out. And in fact, I don't really understand what happened, really. I can tell you that I think there's some confusion out there for people that listen to me. I think some people actually believe that the purpose of my podcast is to make you feel better. And I truly don't understand how that could be the fucking case. It isn't my purpose to make you feel better. It isn't. It isn't to give you false hope. It isn't to come up with another rationalization for how the current state of affairs could keep going another 10 or 20 years until your kids get married and have kids. If it's your expectation that I'm going to tell you really nice, comforting things, you're deluded. This particular listener sent me a couple emails, and what was really funny is one of the emails was from a different address. It was the reply to my email. I basically responded. You know, one of the comments was, it seems like you aren't feeling sorry for yourself, so to speak. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Which podcast did I claim I had any particular right to feel sorry for myself? None of them. Is it true that a year ago I was in a pretty bad place? Yeah, I'll let you on a little fucking secret. I'm simply ahead of the curve. I know some of you out there want to believe that there is a magical doorway, okay? Some magical doorway, and behind it are alien technologies and super weapons and magical laser spacecraft, and if only we could defeat the evil, evil deep state, all of these miracles would be revealed. And that's a nice fantasy, but it's bullshit. And here's what's worse, even if it's not bullshit, I truly don't understand how you're going to fucking win. I mean, the point of your fucking arguments, and when I say yours, I don't really mean my typical listeners. I'm talking in general to all the people out there that want me to believe their denial, anger, bargaining, rationalization. This constant circle of coming up with some reason to dispute a fact that is too horrible to accept, and then getting angry, and then figuring out, well, maybe we can do something magical. Or shit, I saw a video about cosmic rays. And cosmic rays make clouds. And when there are more clouds, you know, it's cooler. I don't care. I really don't care. When I walk down the streets of Little Saigon, I don't see some hyper-light technological future. I see a dose of reality. And my reality, the reality I'm seeing, is nothing compared to the worst neighborhoods of Dayton, Ohio, or Chicago, Illinois, or Los Angeles. I can keep going. If you think urban decay is special, it's not. Everywhere there's a city, there is decay. And frankly speaking, you know, cities have always had decay. It's a natural part of life. It's like getting rid of a shell. You know, when a particular animal that has an exoskeleton gets too big, it gets rid of its shell. You could think of that as decay or growth. In this particular case, it's like growth, but in reverse. It's more like that first century after the Western Roman Empire fell, roughly between 450 and 550, when just about every chunk of cement that the Romans had poured, every fucking slab of granite, every chunk of rock that built most of the temples and the buildings, they were stripped away. Stripped away, taken away, carted off. So by the time you get to the year 1000, whatever is left of Rome, it isn't what it used to be. That's what's going on to our cities, folks. If you want to think it's the former, that's fine. If you want to think it's urban renewal, Dan, yeah, it's not. It's urban decay, but there really is no renewal. And the stuff that we're putting up after we tear down the granite and the stone, it looks like paper mache and plastic and cancer and poison. So no, I don't see what you see. If you tuned into my podcast so that I could make you feel better about what really is going on, that was stupid. Okay? I am simply being honest about my experiences in this world, which are not everywhere. Okay? They might not even coincide with yours. And if you simply want to say, Dan, I'm having a different experience, that's fine. But I'd like us to avoid attacking each other just because we disagree on our perception of reality. Nothing has really changed in the last year. The only difference is I was able to work on a contract for a while to buy myself more time. That's it. There's no change. Nothing's changed in what's going to happen to all of us, and I think it's going to be pretty terrible. And I don't know when. And part of me, yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but then part of me doesn't hope I'm wrong, because otherwise I am crazy. But I don't think I'm crazy. I'm not that crazy. There's a lot of crazy out there, but I don't think that's what's going on here. I'm also not here to tell you the deep, dark secrets. I know there are a lot of people out there with podcasts who claim to know the deep, deep, dark truths of things. Like, they know that the Illuminati run everything. They know that there are reptilians. They know that there are aliens. I don't know any of these fucking things. I'm not even sure any of them are fucking true. I believe there's a God. I know there is a God. Can I prove there's a God? No. If I could prove there was a God in a way that was public and obvious, like 2 + 2 = 4, we wouldn't have free will. Oh, that's kind of how it fucking works, people. If God left signs saying, I was here everywhere, yeah, there wouldn't really be a lot of moral reasoning. It would simply be obedience. But as far as, like, these deeper, darker secrets of the human world, and really when we're saying that, when we're talking about the occult, because that's what it is, the hidden is the occult, the obscured, we're talking about, in my opinion, Lucifer, too. And Lucifer has many, many fascinations, probably, and hobbies. But one of his favorite hobbies is fucking with people. So if there is some deep, deep truth of the humans that run the world in some fucking cabal someplace, maybe. But I don't know where that is. And if I did know, I don't think I'd want to know. It's not the question of ignorance. It's the question of what you can do about it. There is nothing I can do about it at this point. There is nothing you can do about it. And the actual truth could be way worse than anybody wants to admit. The actual truth could be the following. That the world is run by people who have the psychological makeup of Ted Bundy. The actual truth could be that the world is run by people who don't give a shit, even about their own families. They are sociopaths. They are sociopaths with nuclear weapons. That is reality. Far closer to reality than some magical alien peace treaty. And if you want me to tell you that there's a place you can go that will be safe, I don't know. Why don't you pick up that book by Joel Skousen? He wrote this book called Strategic Relocation. He literally wrote the book on where to go. So pick up that fucking book. Ask Joel Skousen. I will say this. I probably wouldn't want to live east of the Mississippi at this point. not after reviewing the location of all the nuclear reactors in this country. Because whatever you want to fucking say about global warming or any of the potential calamities that may or may not strike us, here is what I know from personal experience. Human competence is going down the fucking tubes. I literally saw a meme today from someone who claimed to be logical and scientific saying that smart people know that everything must be complicated. Actually, in engineering and computer science, the goal is to make it fucking simple. Let me wake you up, you stupid fucks. Imagine here in your head the difference between a turbine engine and an internal combustion piston-driven engine. Now, which one is more advanced, the turbine jet engine or the internal combustion engine? Well, actually, the turbine engine. But which one has more moving parts? Oh, the engine that's actually, you know, not as advanced. It turns out the process, all things being equal, the process of engineering effectively, barring redundancy for safety reasons, is to make things simpler. Of course, you can only make things so simple, but no fucking person in science and engineering says, oh, I want to make this theory or this experiment or this program as complicated as possible. What kind of fucking idiot reasons like that? And yet I'll see stuff like that, man, posted as memes, and people think they're being fucking brilliant. Next topic. Trump and the intermediate range ballistic missiles. Boy, that was a weird Freudian slip. Ballistic missile treaty. And I should say treaties because I think there's more than one. This is the IRBM. Now, these are missiles that have a certain limited range, but by design are intended as first strike weapons. So, for example, back in the 80s, we had a lot of missiles, nuclear-tipped missiles, deployed to Europe, deployed to Germany, deployed to other places, that could hit targets in Russia very quickly. And so one of the goals of the IRBM treaty was to remove that hair trigger. Because the problem with nuclear war is you don't want one to start. I know there are folks out there who watch TV shows and imagine the happy fantasy world of the post-apocalyptic wasteland. I know there are people that enjoy LARPing that shit. What I want to know is, do you enjoy explosively pooping your blood and your organs? I don't care if you want to go to some big event where everybody dresses up like Mad Max and pretends it's the end of the world. Do you want to have explosive bloody diarrhea? Because that's only one of the little gifts of a nuclear war. And there are many, many little gifts like that. It's not going to be sexy. And as I've stated in the past, and this really needs to be understood, once a nuclear war starts, the mechanisms for controlling it, for keeping it from escalating, break down. Okay? They fall apart. They stop working, mainly because a lot of them are very fucking complex. And the thing about complex systems is that they have a higher likelihood of failure. Yeah, I'm sorry you had to learn that fucking lesson. Trump. I know there are Trump voters. Say, I voted for Trump because Hillary's evil. Listen, I know, I get it. Hillary is a piece of crap. So is Trump, guys. Okay, he's not your fucking friend. But what I will tell you is this. Trump wanting to throw out the Intermediate Range Ballistic Missile Treaty is one of the most dangerous strategic acts in recent decades. Like, it is fucking dangerous as fuck. Okay? An IRBM deployed, let's say, God forbid, to the Ukraine. But no, let's ignore the Ukraine. To any of the Baltic states. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. An IRBM deployed to any of the fucking Baltic states. That missile hits Moscow in a few minutes. Like maybe about a minute. Maybe two. those missiles hit their targets in Russia within 5 minutes. Everybody in the Strategic Rocket Command of Russia knows this. Okay, they know that those missiles will hit their targets in under 5 minutes. Do you think that makes the world safer or more dangerous? I don't care if you voted for Trump because you hate Hillary. What you need to know is that this is not something that makes the world more peaceful. This is something that makes the world way more fucking dangerous. And I gotta say, I know there are people out there who believe you can win a nuclear war. And in mathematical terms, that might be true. But what you're going to reap as a result is a world ecosystem completely in total collapse. It's not like we're doing so great with the ecosystem right now. We're really not. We're poisoning ourselves. We're shitting where we eat. We're not really doing that great a job. Even a limited nuclear war would cause horrendous damage to ecosystems around the world that have already undergone tremendous damage. But, you know, you've heard my little discussions of nuclear reactors and how you can't ignore them. A lot like Glenn Close. A lot like Glenn Close in that movie from the 80s. What was it? Oh, Fatal Attraction. You're not going to ignore me, are you? Well, like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, there are many things you can do with these reactors, but you can't ignore them. And so a limited nuclear war is basically going to put into question the ability of people to maintain control of these systems. These terribly, actually, complex logistical and support systems that, frankly, are not that redundant. Complex without redundancy equals failure. It really does, folks. And where there's not failure, there's inefficiency, which means if you've got a complex system that's not redundant, but it's still working, in all likelihood, you're leaking resources. You're leaking energy. And in the world as it is right now, that also probably won't work for much longer. Rejecting the Intermediate Range Ballistic Missile Treaty, or any of them, and placing cruise missiles and ballistic missiles in the Baltic states that are minutes away from Moscow is very destabilizing. And I think most Americans are just fucking clueless to it. They're thinking about whatever nonsense the little witch Greta said at the UN, or whatever stupid nonsense exists in the debates between Republicans and Democrats, when in reality, it's just the war party arguing amongst itself. Yeah, this is dangerous, folks. This is dangerous. Next topic. So, if you go online and you search hard enough, and you really don't need to search that fucking hard, if you search hard enough, you'll find articles, you know, from like Forbes or the Business Insider or even WaPo or New York Times about how much of a boon it's going to be, a boon to be able to have commercial shipping traffic and commercial exploitation of the Arctic Sea. And now, hold that thought in your head, people, because as I told you in the past, one way of detecting a lie is, you know, finding the contradictions, the inconsistencies. You'll even find Trump and members of the Trump administration talking up how great it's going to be to exploit oil in the Arctic Ocean. Because, yeah, the Arctic Ocean is going to be navigable. And then at the same time, you'll hear a member of the Trump administration say, well, there's never been more Arctic ice, never been more glaciers. Global warming is bullshit. But the Arctic Sea is going to be navigable and open for business, and it's going to be huge. Which one of these are true, folks? Is it true that we've never had more Arctic ice, or is it true that we're going to be able to send ships around the Arctic pretty much year-round and, yeah, do You know, not even deep sea. The Arctic isn't as deep as you might think in a lot of places. Not even deep sea drilling, but drilling for oil or whatever, natural gas, and there'll be ships moving back and forth because the Arctic will be free of ice. That's why. So here's the question you need to ask the next time you see an article, and you will, you'll see an article talking up commercial opportunities in the Arctic. You need to ask yourself, which is true? Do we have historically more ice than ever and the polar bears are fine? Or suddenly now we can have ships going around the Arctic Ocean year round and boy, there's a lot of oil we can take out of there. Which one's true? Because both cannot be true. You can exploit the Arctic Ocean now because it's ice free, or you can say the Arctic Ocean's never had more fucking ice. But what you can't say are both of those things. Now, if I sound like I'm scolding some of you, it's because I'm so tired of this fucking bullshit where people will say, oh, global warming's total crap. Folks, I don't know that that's true either. Just because some bozo the clown goes up before the UN and acts like a freak doesn't really tell you anything. It really, really doesn't, okay? Just because some little kid that's been MK Ultra'd, probably by her parents and George Soros, has a meltdown before the world, that doesn't tell you anything about the truth of global warming. It is just as likely, because this is a traditional strategy of power, if you don't fucking know, a traditional strategy of power going back millennia, is to choose a clown. To choose some ridiculous buffoon to stand before a legitimate issue to make the legitimate issue look like crap. And if you're supposedly an alternative journalist or an investigator and you don't know this, then I kind of question your credentials, if not your fucking intentions. Okay? You can't actually say anything about global warming because you think little Greta's lying. That doesn't tell you anything. All that you know is that she's lying. That's it. All that you know is that she failed to mention two significant polluters, the Department of Defense, that's the US military, and China, for some fucking reason. And yet, they're really two of the biggest fucking polluters on planet Earth. Well, that's really convenient, little Greta. You didn't mention the fucking military-industrial complex. Well, I wonder why. Did your parents not talk to you about the terrible shit that they do to the environment? I guess your parents kind of left that out, didn't they, little Greta? Did they talk to you about China? No. And again, I've talked about this in a previous podcast, you know. I don't need to beat up on this any further. One of these statements is true, folks, and I don't know which one is true, and you can research it on the own, on your own. On your own, you can find out the truth. Either A, the Arctic is losing its ice, and therefore we're going to be able to navigate it with ships. We're going to be able to drill for resources there, dredge for resources, because all the ice is going away. Or B, there's never, ever, ever been as much ice, and the polar bears aren't, they've never been fucking happier. You need to pick one, folks, because both of those are not fucking true. One is true, and the other's false. And it's sad to me that a lot of people can't grok this out on their own. It's really, really fucking sad. And if I sound like I'm in a shitty mood, well, I kind of am, because I just don't know. I don't understand. I've been pretty fucking blunt with people who listen to me about where I'm coming from, and I really don't understand anybody's fucking desire to have me become their cheerleader or to rationalize their crazy. Okay, I can't do that. I can't fix your crazy. Next and last topic. And in a way, this next topic kind of brings everything full circle to the theme of tonight's podcast, which is I'm not here to make you happy. That is the theme of tonight's podcast. I'm not here to reinforce your beliefs about voting for Trump. If you voted for Trump thinking that, you know, he was going to free you from all your troubles, you're just as much a fucking fool that voted for Obama in 2008. That's how I feel about you. You're a fool. Okay, lots of people voted for Obama thinking he was going to be some type of people's hero. Well, he was a hero to the banks, and he was a hero to the military-industrial complex, and he was a hero to the people building prisons, and he was certainly a hero to Big Pharma, and I can keep fucking going. But as far as being a people's hero, Obama was never that. And neither is Trump. One of the things somebody will say to me, Dan, oh, our empire is so big. The US dollar is reserve currency. Nothing compares. How can we possibly fail? And it's funny because this gets back to that paradigm, again, that was more or less set under the Obama administration, that there are things in this world, folks. And this goes back to that fucking stupid meme, too, about how you gotta make things complicated to make them work. You remember that stupid-ass idea that people actually parrot to this fucking day that something is too big to fail? Too big to fail is the most illogical, most ridiculous, most stupid thing you can possibly say. In fact, the only thing dumber than that would be to say too complex to fail, okay? Because that would be literally stupider. But other than that, too big to fail is almost as fucking bad. The reality is the opposite. And as I said, folks, we live in the age of irony. So they'll say things like smart device. No, that's a stupid device. They'll say things like Patriot Act. No, that is the unpatriot act. They'll say things like war on terror. No. It's technically a war to promote terror. It's a war on drugs? No. They're getting more drugs in. Have you seen the chart for opium production in Afghanistan since we invaded? Are you fucking kidding me? War on drugs? These things mean the opposite. They don't mean what you think they mean. Too big to fail is a lie. It's really too big to succeed. And that's what happens to every empire, every government. And when I say government, you know I mean crocodile. Every crocodile dies. And one of the leading causes of crocodile death is getting too bloated, too big. It's quite the opposite of what little Timothy Geithner told us, too big to fucking fail. No, too big to succeed, little Timmy, too big to succeed. You all look at the United States Empire and you say to yourselves, well, it's so big, even if it goes away, it'll take decades. It'll take centuries. It'll take a long-ass time, Dan. When the ground starts to slip beneath your feet, you might be lucky. You might feel the first shudder, and you might have time to act. You have to imagine yourself in the mountains, hiking about on a snowy slope. And if you're really fucking lucky, you feel a tremor, a slippage under your feet. And if you take note of that, if you think about where you're at on that mountainside, and if you can find the nearest tree that you can attach a rope to, then maybe you can shimmy up that tree a bit, tie yourself to it, and pray. But for a lot of people, not only will they not feel the first shudder, they won't feel the second. And when the third one hits and the entire side of the mountain starts coasting down the side and you have an avalanche, these people simply get buried alive. That is how empires collapse, folks. Okay? Things used to be slower back in the day. Okay? Slower as in things took longer back in the day. Now you need to follow me a bit on this. And yet, the Western Roman Empire, it took about 50 years for it to collapse. And that was in the 5th century AD. That wasn't today. That wasn't with cars and jet planes and computers. And you say, well, Dan, doesn't all that technology mean that we're stronger and that it will take longer for us to collapse? No, actually, you see, this is the irony thing. This is what you don't get. All this extra stuff is extra weight. Okay, let's go back to that mountainside. But let's talk about what you were doing that morning before you went on your hike. You were meeting with your friend Phil. And Phil tells you that everything about avalanches is bullshit, that there's no reason to be afraid, that there's a great avalanche conspiracy, and that, you know what, you should take these extra lead weights, to prove my point, put them in your backpack all kind of like not so center of gravity, and just go march up on that fucking icy hillside and see what the fuck happens. So rather than just go up there, pick about another 30 or 40 pounds of lead weight. Does that sound like a wise decision? And yet the argument of these fuckers is that all this power and all these military armies and ships and jet airplanes and defense contracts and banks, all this imperial glut is strength. But actually, at this point, it's mostly weakness. And it's weakness that only requires a little bit of subtlety, a little bit of strategy, and all of a sudden, you're knocking your opponent on his side, and believe me, the avalanche will happen. And you're sliding down the mountainside, and you're saying, well, gee, Dan, why didn't anybody say anything? Because I gotta tell you, of the many things that piss me off about the time we live in, and I think it's only going to get worse. I really do. Hold on a second. Yeah, had to clear that out. Anyways, in terms of the time we're living in, these times we're living in, I think a lot of people tend to make the assumption, and it's just part of their mindset, that all of this technology is a safety, that all of this technology is a protection. But what if it's like this? What if you need to solve a problem on day zero? There's no electricity. And oh, you have a Kindle, but there's no electricity. And oh, you have a Kindle, but you can't even connect to the internet because the internet's down. And you have a friend who's bleeding out. Now, your brain said, go look up, you know, first aid on the Kindle. Yeah, that was a brain fart. And those first aid books you used to have, the ones that they told you you would never need again, yeah, they're gone. That's just a little example of what day zero is going to be like because of technology. You remember that day and age where you knew how to read a fucking map? Hell, you remember that day and age where you had a fucking map? Do you remember that? The day and age where you kept a map around so you could know where the fuck you were going? The day and age where you knew how to use a map? Or hell, even had a fucking compass? A lot of people won't know how to get from point A to point B on day zero. They will get lost. They will get confused. Think chicken. Think head cut off. The bigger your empire is, the more powerful your empire is, the more shit that it has is more shit that can go sideways. It's more shit that can go wrong. Let me tell you another possible story of the future. Imagine we suffer an economic collapse so severe that we cannot maintain our obligations to our treaty partners. Now imagine we have tens of thousands of troops in countries where, if this were to occur, all of a sudden they become hostages. Yeah. All of a sudden, all of those troops we have overseas become hostages of countries that want to get paid. Okay? They're holding our debt, and they don't want to take, you know, more dollars. They want gold. That's the strength of a debt-driven empire. That's the situation you find yourself in. And if your final answer is, well, Dan, we have nuclear weapons, that's fine. I kind of jumped to that conclusion fucking months and years ago. Okay? I really did. If you work out the math, it's fairly straightforward. There are very few situations under which the people that currently think they run the world or probably do run the world survive a reset, okay? People will want them dead. I mean, believe me, think pictures of Mussolini and his mistress hanging upside down at a gas station. That's what you have to fucking imagine. These people are not stupid. They took the history class. They know what happens to the Ceausescus and the Hitlers and those other people. You know, they know that Stalin dying in his sleep was a rarity for people in that line of work. So they know what's going to happen. Do you really think they don't want to just take us all out before it happens? Why wouldn't they? They show no interest in maintaining human civilization. They show no interest in anything that even remotely looks like a functional relationship to the planet Earth. They show no interest in humanity. That's kind of important. They don't give a fuck about you. That's the nicest, most comforting thing I can tell you. If you listen to my podcast hoping I'm going to tell you that I suddenly want to vote for Trump, no, I'm never going to fucking vote again. Voting is a waste of time. All you do when you vote is you basically give the crocodile a reach around. You basically suck his cock. You tell the government, oh, thank you, government, for making my life so special. But it doesn't do anything. You're not actually going to change policy. Oh, yeah, I know some of you may be led to believe this. And around the edges, the crocodile will do certain things. Like he'll say, oh, yeah, let the people of Washington smoke some weed. Let the gay people get married. But when it comes to life and death of people overseas, nothing changes. Zero, zip, nada. When it comes to the economic situation of the United States, nothing changes. Zero, zip, nada. Are you feeling better? Do you need to email me and tell me about how you're happy that I'm so, like, in a great mood these days? Have you even been fucking listening to my podcast, if that's what you fucking think? I'll tell you what I think. I think that for most of my life, I've heard a coming roar. Now, at first, when I was a kid, it wasn't much of anything. It was barely discernible as a thunderclap in the distance. In fact, for most of my youth, even though I sensed it, it wasn't something that bothered me too much. It was just my personality. Dan's just a little dark and weird. Dan is just, you know, yeah. And then in my 20s, that dull roar became louder. And what's really funny, as the roar became louder, the number of distractions that our society was being flooded with randomly increased. Like, as the roar of what I heard coming got louder and louder, the number of gadgets, the number of distractions, the number of ways in which people could completely disconnect from reality increased. I'm sure that was fucking random. Totally random. And then in my 30s, in part because I fell in love, I tuned it out. I went to pretend land for as long as I could. It pretty much lasted, more or less, until the great financial crisis. For about 6 or 7 years in my 30s, I could convince myself. I tried to convince myself every fucking day of the techno-utopia, techno-future, technotronic, technological, magical, extravaganza future. And I had all the rationalizations about, you know, fusion energy and helium 3 and space travel and blah, 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 blah. And mostly because I was in love. And when you're in love, yeah, a certain kind of cognitive dissonance sets in, especially if in your head at some point you could envision, you know, being a parent, having kids. And then once you have kids, and I don't have any, but I think I can reason this one out. Once you have kids, your own mind, your own spirit, your own, potentially your own genetics work against you as a parent. Okay? The chemistry of the brain works against you. It basically wants you to believe that everything is going to be okay. And I totally get it. A shitty parent scares their children. Okay? On the other hand, a shitty parent lies to their children. This is where things get tough. My dad was mean as fuck. That's the nicest way to put it. Have I forgiven him? Whatever the fuck that means. Sure, he died when I was 23. How do you forgive somebody for anything when right at the moment you're just becoming a man, the person that you're supposed to look up to dies, and the last thought you're left with is that you're a dirtbag? That's not an easy thing to process. My dad was a tough, tough guy. And I used to look back and think, well, God damn it, why couldn't he have been nicer? But now I look at this world the way it is, and I look at my own life and the lives of people I care about, maybe he knew something too. Or maybe he simply responded to his environment in the best way he could. But his being a jerk actually has changed my perspective on things. Like, his being mean and tough as fuck, I'm not going to say it made me really tough, because I truly don't know if that's true. But the one thing it has done, laid bare the pathetic excuses of the normies. That's something my dad's fathering did for me. It laid bare the ridiculous, problematic, contradictory, and toxic beliefs of the normies. And yeah, there are a lot of normies out there. Some of you might be normies too, if you admit it to yourself. I guess we all are a little. We live in the United States. As well-kept domestic animals, we're always told everything's fucking great and there are no problems. And don't worry about it. And only positive people get ahead. Make sure you surround yourself with only positive people. Only positive people. Don't surround yourself with negative people. If you got a negative person in your life, get rid of them. The bigger, I mean, this is a cliche, but I think it's true. The bigger you are, the harder you fall. And I think that's generally true. And the United States, as empires go, and this is something you have to think about, because if you believe we're a free republic, you're already starting from this at the wrong angle, okay? If we were a free republic, that republic died probably 100 years ago. For the last century, we have been an empire, pretending to be a republic. And as empires go, empires don't last. And as empires go, you could argue there has never been a bigger empire in the history of the world than the United States. In terms of client states, and a client state, if you don't know, a client state is a country you basically control. So for all intents and purposes, there are lots of countries in this world today that we do control, that we manipulate. So in terms of the footprint, there's probably never been a bigger empire than the United States of America. Never in the history of the world, ever. Another interesting factoid about empires, and a good example would be the Mongol Empire. It's not always true, but it's generally true, the faster the empire rises up, the faster it collapses. Okay? The Mongol Empire rose from being basically a provincial society, a very small tribal provincial society, to controlling much of the known world in a space of about 100 years. 150 years. And then by the 14th century, it was already in collapse. So essentially, you could argue the span of the Mongol Empire was roughly about 300 years, plus or minus. But that's not all growth. Half of that is decline and disintegration and things falling apart. The Mongol Empire rose very quickly, and it collapsed even faster. So what do you think is going to happen to us? Do you think we get to collapse really, really slow at a medium pace? Do you think that we get to collapse so slow that you get to spend time with your loved ones for another 20 or 30 years? Is that your plan? And I'm sorry I'm being harsh on this tonight, but I gotta say, I don't want any confusion out there. I am trying to be funnier. I do want this to be entertaining. And I certainly would love it if I can make money doing the podcasting. And if you don't know, there's a link on my SoundCloud page to Venmo. And if you want to donate, you can. You're not obligated to. There's no paywall. And I don't think I'm going to create one because there's no point in doing it. I don't have enough people listening yet. So if you want to donate, fine. Separate topic. But don't donate to me thinking that if you pay me money, I'll come up with excuses to make you feel better about shit that's going sideways. That's never gonna fucking happen. What I will try to do is be what I've been, and that is as honest with you as I can be. Maybe not about everything, because that's a little scary, but about a lot. And what I'll try to do is, if I think there's a reason to be concerned in the immediate future, I will try to say so. But if you want me to tell you what's the day that everything really blows up, could be tomorrow, could be next month. I seriously doubt it's 10 years from now. I seriously doubt it's 20 years from now. But yeah, probably in the next 5 years, I would expect most of what you call normal to turn completely on its head. Probably in the next 5 years, most of you will live to see the most people you've ever seen killed at the same time. Could be a false flag. Could be a limited nuclear war. Could be both. Could be a nuclear bomb is set off by the deep state somewhere in the US. Pick the city they don't care about. That's my advice. Pick a place they don't give a fuck about, that they would just assume lose, that they would treat like an insurance loss, and that's the city that gets toasted. And then, oh shit, it was Iran, or it was Russia, or it was China and Russia and Iran, and then the missiles start flying. And that's just one of the many ways this complex civilization could unwind. In fact, if you look at all of the ways in which empires unwind, it is extremely rare to have graceful degradation like what happened to the Soviet Union. That is rare. That is not the norm. If you're hoping for that, and I am too, truly, that's what I'm hoping for. I am hoping for a graceful degradation. And let me tell you something. Even with that, it wasn't so great to be in Russia back in the 90s. But compared to the way that other empires have imploded, like, for example, the Ottoman Empire, or the Austro-Hungarian Empire, or the Russian Empire just before World War I, in terms of how other empires have either been imploded on purpose or not, because again, a bunch of you think that all of this is so controlled that there's just nothing happening naturally. That's fine, maybe, possible. But in terms of the natural or unnatural history of empires, whether natural or unnatural, it is atypical for them to gracefully degrade. It is way more typical for them to simply collapse and to trigger a war. So you tell me what happens next. Is there going to be a magical boom economy? Well, isn't that what we've been told the last 10 years? This has been the longest recovery in American history, yeah, it's also been the weakest. And that's if you believe the numbers. But if you don't believe the numbers like me, and you know in reality the entire world economy has been shrinking for 10 years, then yeah, what exactly are you looking for out there? What is your denial, anger, bargaining play? What are you envisioning as the thing that's going to make America great again? We don't have that many more Native Americans we can kill. Okay, we just can't go to war with Mexico. There are lots of things we did in the 19th century and we shot the wad on. You know, and I'm being a bit sarcastic here, but I'm doing it on purpose. There was never a time in the history of the Constitutional Republic where the crocodile wasn't attacking somebody. Okay? Never. There was never a golden age. Almost immediately after the Constitutional Convention, we formed a fucking army. Almost immediately after we formed a fucking army, we started rounding up Native Americans. Almost immediately after we started doing that, we created reservations. And yes, we made treaties with Native Americans and we violated them. Wow. That particular pattern of behavior has not changed much, has it? Do you all recall what George Bush Sr. promised Gorbachev? No, I know this is a memory hole. A lot of you don't like to think about things that are more than a few minutes old. He promised that NATO would never move past Poland. Ever. Period. Which should at least last 20 years, which means to this day, NATO should have never moved past Poland. Yeah, we made a lot of promises in the past when America was great. We lied and we cheated and we stole when America was great. But I tell you this much, the only way in which America could ever be great, in any sense, would be if this were a free country. And it's not, currently. And it's not even heading in the right fucking direction. It would be one thing if Trump got elected, and it's funny because a lot of libertarians voted for him. This is one of the really depressing things. A lot of libertarians came out and said, you gotta vote for Trump. What the fuck? What the fuck? How could a libertarian vote for Trump? What did he do to expand freedom since he got elected? It looks like Julian Assange is going to die in jail. And it looks like Hillary Clinton is still fucking free. So whatever Q is telling you, these are simply the facts on the fucking ground. I'm going to end this podcast with this fucking thought, you know, with this situation. I'm simply going to end it. I want you to ask yourself, what is it you'd want me to tell you? What little thing do you want me to tell you to make you feel better? And then I want you to write that on a piece of paper. And I want you to take that piece of paper outside and set it on fire. Because I won't ever be a person who's going to help you rationalize away reality. I'm just not. And it also doesn't mean I'm right. And it also doesn't mean that things couldn't end up turning out amazing. Like they're literally, you know, let me end it this way. There's this guy, Bix Weir. Bix Weir. I think it's Bix Weir. He has Road to Root A. He somehow thinks that the rational curve for money is a deep programming conspiracy with fucking Alan Greenspan. Listen, folks, Root A, the square root of A, represents the value of money over time. Okay? Which means, or rather, the more money you have, the additional dollars, is called the law of diminishing returns. Essentially, the root curve expands. It expands at a decreasing rate. The value grows, but grows at a decreasing rate. Which means, in theory, as x approaches infinity, the curve itself becomes almost flat. Somehow, Bix Weir turned this into like a whole freaking, I don't know, fucking way to prove that there's a magical Grand Canyon gold mine. Listen, that all could be fucking true. If in a couple of years we wake up and find out that there's 10 trillion tons of gold in the Grand Canyon, and that Alan Greenspan was really trying to like set America up for success, whatever, folks, great. I think that that's a lot of wishful fucking thinking. I think that's a fantasy. And it's either a fantasy somebody believes or doesn't. I'm not going to help you out there. Put your fantasy on a piece of paper and take it outside and burn it. Okay? Put your fantasies and your denials and your anger and your bargaining, write it on a piece of paper and burn it. That's my fucking advice.